the world's most persecuted minority can never seem to catch a break. Myanmar, their home country, doesn't want them, nor do regional countries like Indonesia and Malaysia, who have in the past pushed their boats back out to sea. And then there is the Western world, seen as a role model of acceptance for those fleeing persecution. Australia's Prime Minister has clearly said, nope, 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 in response to a question about whether he will do anything to help the Rohingyas. Among these instances of inhumanity, even a Myanmarese Nobel laureate sits silent as her countrymen are persecuted. In this edition of The Debate, we once again shed light on the Rohingya peoples stuck on boats in the Andaman Sea.
In this camp on Malaysia's Langkawi Island, Rohingya Muslims who've made their way to the country through sea talk about their ordeal back at home in Myanmar.
We could not stand the killing. They set fire to our villages, burnt our houses, and killed our people.
This is my hometown. When I see it like this, I get sad because of difficult things people are leaving by boat. Half of them arrive, half don't.
These people are among hundreds of Rohingyas who fled Myanmar over the past weeks for fear of their lives amid a campaign of hatred and killing waged against their community for over 2 years now. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees estimates that over 3,000 Rohingyas and Bangladeshis aboard human smugglers' boats are still stranded in the Andaman Sea. It has called on several regional countries to handle the migrant influx. In response to the growing calls, Malaysia and Indonesia now say they will provide the refugees with temporary shelters. Myanmar, the source of the problem, has promised to help stop the flow of people via sea to other Southeast Asian countries. Analysts, however, question Myanmar's intentions.
Myanmar has been trying to cleanse the Rohingya Muslims from its state and create a pure Buddhist state. So I can only imagine what they will do if they are stopping them leaving the country. They will probably, commit more acts of atrocities and genocide against them. So this should be really worrying for the international community.
Rohingyas are among the most prosecuted minorities in the world. They are a Muslim community in a predominantly hostile Buddhist society which denies them citizenship. They have effectively become stateless, have limited access to education and health, with severely restricted religious freedoms. The anti-Rohingya campaign that has gathered pace since 2012 has left hundreds dead and forced tens of thousands to flee Myanmar. Analysts say the West is not willing to help address the issue.
The United States and the West and the United Nations have no interest in saving the lives of Rohingya Muslims because they are more interested in seeing Myanmar being used as a means of economic exploitation of its resources and to turn it into another type of satellite country for the West to exploit economically.
Observers believe the humanitarian crisis will continue as long as the international community fails to tackle the root cause of the problem, Myanmar's inhumane treatment of its Muslim community.
Nope. Nope.
Let's now introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We're joined by columnist of The Hill newspaper, Mr. Brent Badowski, who is joining us live from Washington. And we're also joined by Rohingya activist, Dr. Ambia Parveen, who is joining us live from Bonn. Thank you both for taking your time to join us here for this edition of The Debate. Dr. Parveen, I'd put the first question to you. The regional conference invitation was set to be rejected by Myanmar if the word Rohingya was used. Now that Myanmar has said it will attend, one can presume it has gotten its wish on the name Rohingya. Is this a good point to start from, that of the Myanmarese government's refusal to see these people as its own?
First thing, I just would like to thank Press TV for inviting me to be the voice for the voiceless people of Rohingya. To tell you the truth, it's a good question, or it's a good thing to know, but how much we believe, it's also very difficult. As you know, that there is a pressure going on to the Burmese government internationally, all over the world, these days especially. So this is the way how to escape, you know. They just want to escape and so that they can hide their real face for the time being, and then they will take their own actions. It's just a pressure from the internationally, that's why they are just hiding their face, and they just want to, they have no interest of solving the question. If they wanted to solve these questions, this thing, they should have done it long, long back ago. It's just pressure from the international communities.
Okay, Mr. Bradowski, I want to put the same question to you, essentially, you know, about this regional conference invitation. There was much hype about it. Myanmar's government had complained that the word Rohingya had been used. Now it's saying it will attend. What do you think has happened here?
Well, I think that the Myanmar government is under a lot of international pressure. They should be. I hope the pressure continues. That government, over a long time, has done many things that have been disgraceful. So I think the reason the summit is going to proceed is because the pressure is on and the pressure is growing. And the more pressure, the better it is, I think, for humanity, not only for the Rohingyas. What has happened to them is an outrage, a crime, a shame, an infamy, a disgrace. It's a violation of common decency of humanity that these people have been hurt and punished and treated so poorly by Myanmar and by the neighbors over there as well, Indonesia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It really is an outrage. We need to come to grips with all of these immigration and migrant issues all over the world. I hope Pope Francis can get involved in this very dramatically. I think the United Nations needs to take a position, and a strong one, and stop hanging out on the fence. I'd like to see the United States do more leadership. But the world community has to take a stand. I agree with Human Rights Watch, one of the more respected international human rights groups in the world, that what's happening is a crime against decency. It is a form of ethnic cleansing. It is a disgrace, and it has to end. And these good people deserve humane and decent treatment, as do everyone else in the world. But these crimes against them have to end. And the government of Myanmar has to act like a decent and civilized member of the world community and treat them with respect. You can't have a people who are homeless and stateless in their own country being treated this way. It is a crime, and it should be stopped.
Dr. Praveen, how do you feel about how Indonesia and Malaysia acted at the beginning of this crisis by pushing those boats back out to sea? Now they're saying that they will change their stance, although there's some confusion about that as well. How do you feel about Indonesia and Malaysia?
Actually, whatever the assistance they are giving, we are very thankful to them. Saving even one life is very, very precious to us. And then, actually, if you see it, it's a man-made disaster, and it has been made by the Burmese government. So whatever is going on, the responsibilities should be taken by the Burmese government, and they should initiate to do and to help us. So the Malaysian government and the Indonesian government, since especially the Malaysian government is the chairman of the ASEAN countries, and with the support of the people, other countries internationally also should come forward, and the organization should come forward to help us to rescue these people.
Okay, and Mr. Bradowski, how do you feel about how Indonesia and Malaysia have acted at the beginning of this by pushing some of those boats back out to sea?
Well, they began by being horrible and outrageous, and now they're only slightly better. What we need is an international agreement through the United Nations to treat these people and all other people and all issues of immigration and migration around the world with human decency and kindness and civilization. And I think that the other governments, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, may be a little better than where they were before, but they're not nearly good enough. There's still too much that's going on that's wrong. We're not talking about a lot of people here. They can be found places where they can be treated with respect and religious freedom and allowed to get married and allowed to worship as they choose. And everyone in the world and everyone in the region and people of all faiths should find a way to deal with this. And we need a more global understanding of the need to act on immigration. Again, I also agree with what Pope Francis has said. Here in the United States, we have an immigration bill and issues that need to be dealt with. In Europe, there are immigration issues and the treatment of immigrants all over continental Europe. Every so many months, we read more stories of innocent, good people being killed, sunk in boats. They are clutching their children when the boats go under. And the last things that these mothers and fathers think with their baby boys and baby girls and young men and women is that the people they love, the children they brought into this world, are dying with them in an outrage that happens too often in too many places that decent people have to start now, including and beginning with Myanmar, and end this kind of thing. It is a travesty. And I hope when the United Nations meets in December and in January in their big annual meeting, and Pope Francis addresses that meeting, I hope all of these issues take center stage. We are going to be a decent world with decent countries, treating people with decency, or we are not. And in this case that we're talking about today, they are not. It is an outrage.
Okay, and Dr. Parveen, I wanted to speak about within Myanmar itself, if we may, and talk about Aung San Suu Kyi. You know, when she won the Nobel Prize, there was a lot of happiness about, you know, her winning the prize, firstly, and when she was released, etc. She's now part of the political atmosphere in the country, but she has not done much for Rohingyas. Why is that?
Let me just tell you, I agree what you have said. And then just let me remind you one of her favorite quote that she used to say, use your liberty to promote ours. So I think she has forgotten these things, this quote of hers, when it comes to Rohingya. And I think she just wants to please the generals of Burma. That is her interest.
Okay, let's just take a quick time out and let's get to some of our viewer comments as posted on our social media pages. Our viewers have been taking part in this conversation. Let's listen to some of their comments and we'll be right back.
The so-called agents of Islam are busy killing Muslims in Yemen, so they have no time to think about Rohingya Muslims, thanks to Iran, who raised the issue and has been putting pressure on Myanmar. Shame on those Muslim rulers who are always busy with their luxurious life and don't feel sympathy for their own sisters and brothers. The world doesn't care because these people are poor. Buddhists have been killing innocent Muslims for years, but nobody has intervened for fear of China. We Rohingya people are the most vulnerable and persecuted people on the earth. We are ignored and neglected everywhere.
Just some of our viewer comments as posted on our social media pages. I want to go up to Mr. Budowski. Mr. Budowski, before the comments, I spoke about Aung San Suu Kyi, and what I'm trying to get at, Mr. Budowski, is those who have influence within or even outside the country doing their part. And at this point, it seems that Suu Kyi hasn't done her part. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think it's wonderful that Suu Kyi received the Nobel Prize. I think it's wonderful that she was released from prison. But not is enough is being done enough to give her the freedom and the capacity to have influence. She doesn't have as much influence as she should, and she should be more forceful and more aggressive herself, appealing to the world community about the Rohingyas as she did on other issues. It's hard in a government that is not free, not friendly, not open, and is hostile to people who are different than the major ethnics in that country. But she has to be more bold and more forceful. So I'm glad she's free. I applauded the Nobel Peace Prize. I hope she would do much more. And I think everybody, again, all over the world community, we have to have a standard of living and conscience and decency that is universal for all religions, all faiths, all people, and all countries in every continent of the world. And I hope she will be more of a part of it. I agree with that. And I hope all of our countries, and I would include Australia, by the way, they can be a world leader themselves in their own way in Australia. To say it's not our problem in an issue like this is not enough, not acceptable. And they can do better in Australia, a continent, a country, a people I have a great deal of respect for. But to say it's not our problem, this kind of an outrage and indecency is the problem of every decent person everywhere in the world, no matter what our faith. And I'm with Pope Francis, but if there are people of other faiths, every religion, every country should agree that this is an outrage and they need to stop it. Myanmar needs to act like a civilized and decent country or they should be condemned all over the world. Still, and again.
Okay, Dr. Parveen, you know, I want to be fair to Myanmar. And, you know, there are reports that Myanmar has conducted the first rescue of a migrant boat itself, its own naval forces. And the country's government has said that it would provide search and rescue for what it has called boat people in its territorial waters. Do you think that there is a change happening in Myanmar?
Yes, I think so. It is difficult to say, to tell you the truth, you know, they were always against us, they never helped us. And whatever the situation is going on, at this moment, you know, that our situation deteriorating day by day. So it is very hard to believe them, that whatever they are saying. So as I've said earlier also, it is really the international pressure on them, and they just want to hide their real face, you know. They just want to run away from the criticism. This is the way they are just trying to cool us down and the people. And another thing is that if you ask me, and if you ask most of the Rohingya people, I would really prefer to be rescued by international team than by the Burmese, because I know at the end of the, if they will, even if they rescue us, they will kill us. They will just take us somewhere and they will make us disappear. So I really prefer, and I'm sure also most of my Rohingya people also prefer to be rescued by the international team rather than by the Burmese government.
Mr. Badowski, that was quite a powerful statement there by Dr. Parveen. You know, the preference of having international rescuers over Myanmarese or Burmese rescuers. I wonder what your feelings are on that. And I want to go back to what you said about Australia, saying it's pretty much taking a not my problem kind of approach. What kind of a precedent does that send then for the Myanmarese government?
Well, first of all, I agree it would be best if there could be international rescue operations. I agree with that idea. I hope there can be. I support that. I think that would be a good thing. I'd like to see international observers on this issue in particular in Myanmar, watching how this unfolds and reporting back. I think it's good that the media is focusing on this. I mean, here in the United States, ABC Television, a major television network, has done some good work on this. And I think that is also adding to the pressure on Myanmar. I love Australia. I studied at the London School of Economics, and many Australians were my good friends for the year I was there getting my degree. They are wonderful people. It's a wonderful place. I think Australia should and can and must exercise the same moral leadership and diplomatic leadership that I want all the other countries, including my own, to exercise. I don't think it is acceptable for any country, especially a country as good and great and a people as good and great, and a continent as good and great as Australia, to take the attitude of, well, it's not our problem. When we have an injustice and a wrong like this, it is everybody's problem. Yours, mine, the Australians, and the world.
Okay, Dr. Parveen, I want to put another statement to you again coming out of Myanmar. The military chief of Myanmar has said that some migrants who are landing in Malaysia and Indonesia this month are pretending to be Rohingya Muslims in order to get UN aid. Why is there so much hatred towards Rohingyas in Myanmar?
As you know, this is the sign, one of the sign of genocide, you know, and they just don't want to accept us because of, well, you know, I think you know the history. Rohingya exist as long as the history of Burma existed, you know. So, he has to realize that we Rohingyas are persecuted by the Burmese government. That's why the internationally and the global people are helping us. And to tell you the truth, I am not sure, according to my sources, that most 90% of the people who are on the boat, refugees, are Rohingyas. So it just, I can really, but as I said, our sources are 90% are mainly Rohingyas.
Okay, there, Mr. Badowski, you heard there from, you know, the mouth of an activist itself that 90% of these people on the boats are Rohingyas. And, you know, here we have the military chief of Myanmar saying that many of them are just acting to be Rohingyas to get UN aid. That's quite a statement to be making, isn't it?
Oh, it's an outrage. I would guess that 90% at least are Rohingyas. I would guess that the military dictators in Myanmar are lying. It wouldn't be inconsistent with their behavior in the past. And I've not been a supporter of the current government and their system and their dictatorship as long as I can remember. What they need to do in Myanmar, Burma, what they need to do is have a Bill of Rights and Human Rights for the Rohingyas that they can marry who they want, love who they want, get health care to make them healthy, have education so they can learn, and have every right as every other citizen of that country should have, to have a decent life on marriage, health care, economics, jobs, all of those things. And right now, they are being discriminated against on all of those fronts, and that as well is wrong. So I think we need big change. I think it's very healthy and positive that international pressure is being put on them. I hope all of us, in our own ways, can keep that pressure up. I don't think the government of Myanmar will do the right thing for the right reasons. I think they might do the right thing for the wrong reasons, because they feel they have no choice if the conscience of the world is focused on them, which is what we're doing right now today.
Look, we just have a few minutes left, so I want to get both of your final comments. Dr. Parveen, I wanted to ask you, you know, I was reading a report today about how Rohingyas in other countries are persecuted as well, such as in Bangladesh. They're part of, you know, they're forced into the drug trade. Some of them are forced into prostitution, child prostitution. How will the Rohingya community be able to recover from this?
To tell you what I see, well, the main issue is to have sustainable situation which guaranteed their lives, security, and livelihood in Myanmar. If these things are guaranteed, of course, then there will be less refugees, and then things will be better.
Okay, we'll leave it there at that. I do apologize, Mr. Brodowski. We have run out of time, so we'll have to leave it there for today. But, of course, we do appreciate both of you joining us for this edition of the debate. That was columnist with The Hill newspaper, Mr. Brant Brodowski, who was speaking to us live from Washington. And we were also joined by Rohingya activist Dr. Ambya Parveen, who had been speaking to us live from Bonn. And, of course, viewers, we do appreciate your comments as posted on our social media pages. And, of course, for watching. Until next time, good night.